You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 3 in our message series, Need to Know, Hebrew Words to Help Us Understand God's Story. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Hey everyone, welcome once again to Midcurrent. If you didn't catch me at the top of the hour, my name is Stan. I'm the pastor here, and I really am so glad to have you with us today. And one more time, to all the dads, to all the granddads, to all the future dads, we do want to just wish you a happy Father's Day to you. We really are glad you chose to spend a portion of it with us. I get to thinking on Father's Day and wonder if you've ever wondered about what really is the perfect gift for dads on Father's Day. You ever think about this? I mean, for sure, I think there's some obvious ones. For sure, you might think dads, you know, they want a box of steaks or like a new set of golf balls or golf clubs or like maybe some new power tool for the garage or some kind of toy for the boat or maybe a brand new car with the big red bow on the top. And those are all really, really, really great gifts. And truthfully, I would gladly accept any one of them from my kids or, you know, from anyone really, but that's beside the point. Despite the fact that those are some really great gifts, I think I know what dads want most. I think I know what they really want after a long day in the office or maybe, you know, in the midst of, you know, a crazy house full of, you know, kids who are now home on summer break. I think that I know what dads secretly wish they could ask for, and maybe this is just me, I don't know. Either way, here's a very short clip of something that I think every dad wishes he too could ask for.
I want some peace and quiet.
Well, I'll be quiet.
I'll be peace.
Okay, not only is this just a really great movie, one of my favorite movies, not only is this one of my, you know, favorite clips, it still makes me giggle inside a little bit today. I just think it's so true. It paints, yeah, I think, a really great picture of the world that so many of us live in. And these two things right here, I think they're some of the best gifts that we could receive. Bill Murray's character, he says, "I'll be quiet," and then the son says, "I'll be peace." Isn't that what we really want, us dad? We want just a little bit of peace in our life. I think it's true. And honestly, it's not just dads. I mean, I think this is all of us. It's dads, it's moms, adults, kids, students. Don't you think that all of us just want to feel a little bit more peace in our lives? We want to feel and experience a little more peace in our families, or maybe at the Thanksgiving table, or in our places of work, or maybe in the world today. All of us want to experience just a little bit more peace. I for one, know that's how I feel. I would love to feel more at peace, or to experience more peace in more places in my life. I would love to feel less stress or anxiety or fear or worry or uneasiness. And I think the same may be true. I think it may be true for so many of you. And so what if I told you today, what if I told you that there was actually a way to guarantee more peace in your life? And if there's any part of you that's thinking, you know, hey, that sounds pretty good, sign me up for that. If there's any part of you that's interested in that, the idea of more peace in your life, then I'm really glad you're here today, because I want to share with you today how it is that you can indeed experience more peace in the life that you live. It really is right at your fingertips. And I think all of us are going to learn how this is possible. I would like for all of us, my hope is that all of us would learn how this is possible as we continue in the third week of our series, Need to Know. The series has been a fun one so far, and here's what really comes from. The reality is the Bible's native tongue, or its heart language, as we have been saying, in a sense, it's not English. The Bible's native tongue is actually Hebrew. And so what we're doing in the course of this series is we have been attempting to learn just a few basic Hebrew words that we all need to know in order to understand God's story better and understand God's heart for us just a little better as well. And so today I need to teach you yet another Hebrew word. And in fact, unlike the first two words that we learned, week one was Shema and week two was Teshuvah, unlike those two, I actually think there's a good chance that that many of you have heard this word before. And unless Hebrew is your native tongue, right? Unless you grew up speaking Hebrew in your home, I'm willing to guess that this is probably the first Hebrew word that you ever learned. What word am I talking about? Here it is right here. It's the word shalom. Okay, quick show of hands here. How many of you have heard this word before? Shalom. Yeah, there's some hands going up. Even if you didn't like totally, you know, really know what it meant, I'm guessing that you have heard it before. Maybe even, you know, used it before to refer to something in your life. And here's how our English Bible translates this word shalom in all of the places where it's used. It's translated as the word peace. It's translated as the word peace. And this one word, shalom, it is used over and over and over again all throughout the Old Testament. In fact, shalom is used about 250 times in the Old Testament. 250 times. So today, sit back, get comfortable. Here's number one. No, I'm just kidding. We won't do all 250, but I do want to start for you today with one in particular. It's actually from the book of Numbers where we see this word, shalom. Book of Numbers, God is telling Moses to tell Aaron to give a special blessing to all of their people. And so here it is. You can see it on the side screens. Here's the blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his shalom. May he give you his peace. If you grew up in church, that may sound very familiar. There's a good chance your pastor even like closed each service with that blessing. Right, I think it's actually a really, really, really encouraging blessing. It's a really encouraging passage of scripture for us to read or to have read to us. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. We like that. I like that. I mean, we like the idea of peace in our life, and more importantly, we like the idea of God's peace in our life. I mean, that's like top shelf kind of peace in our life. We like that. But here's the thing. I'm not quite sure that we actually, truly know what that word shalom actually means. It's translated peace, but there's actually something slightly different than that, something more than that. And I'm not sure if we always know exactly what it means. In fact, if you ask me, I'd say that most people really do have a pretty incomplete idea of peace. Peace in general, and at least the kind of peace that the Bible and that this word shalom is referring to. Because what do most people today, maybe this is true of you here today or those of you watching online, what do most people equate peace with today? For most people, peace is the absence of something. Right? For most people, peace, it's the absence of conflict. It's the absence of war, maybe. It's the absence of tension, or it's the absence of drama or any kind of problem in your life or in the world. For some people, peace is a stress-free day. The absence of anything that could go wrong. But all of this means ultimately that peace, if that's what it is, ultimately it just means that peace is relatively subjective. It's not necessarily a guarantee. It's only a possibility. And there's not ultimately a lot that we can do to control any of it. It's all a result of a number of outside circumstances in our life. And so as a result, we try to achieve peace by the elimination of all of those circumstances that we don't necessarily feel great about. And peace then is dependent on how well we or on how well God can remove anything uncomfortable in our life. Peace is dependent on how we or God can, you know, smooth out anything that's, you know, uneven in our life. And if that's all it is, then this idea of peace is just a big hope. It's just a big wish that we make with fingers crossed going, wait, I hope this all works out. Hope nothing goes wrong today. For most people, I would suggest that peace, in their mind, peace is simply the absence of conflict. Maybe this is how you have understood peace in your life. It's the absence of conflict. Very well may be true, but this is actually not the true meaning of the word peace. It's actually not the true meaning of the word shalom as the Bible intended. Shalom is actually intended to communicate something else, something just a little bit more. It's meant to communicate a state of wholeness or of completeness. That the 250 times when the Old Testament uses the word shalom, it's actually meant to communicate a state of wholeness or completeness. And the type of wholeness that's being referred to is the wholeness of a relationship, specifically a harmonious unity with God and a restored relationship with Him. In Hebrew circles today, shalom is used as a greeting or even as a goodbye. And as a greeting, it's not meant to just say like, you know, hi, or I hope you're doing okay. It's almost a question. When it's used as a greeting today, it's almost a question as a means to say, how is your peace, right? How is the unity and the wholeness that you're experiencing in your relationship with God? And as a goodbye, it's not just meant to say like, see you later. It's not meant to just say, best of luck. You know, it's not meant to just say, you know, fingers crossed that you don't hit a bump in the road today. It's really meant to be a blessing in a sense, like we just read before. It's meant to say, hey, may the true peace and may the wholeness and may there be a unity with God for you as you go on your way. It's saying, hey, may you experience the fullness of God. Shalom. Right? Shalom is this kind of restored, full, right, whole relationship with God. And this would make even more sense given the fact that the root of the word shalom in Hebrew, that's kind of what we've put under the microscope, this Hebrew language. The root word of shalom, it comes from the word shalem, which means to make amends, to repay, or to restore. Okay? The root of the word shalom, it comes from the word shalem, which means to make amends, to repay, or to restore. This is where the idea of shalom starts to get interesting, and maybe even a little clearer for you and for me and how we experience peace in our life. Because here's a question for you, Midcurrent. Who made amends for us? Who paid the price? Who repaid the price that we deserve to pay? Who restored our relationship with God after it was broken because of our sin? Who did that? If you're not sure, I'm going to give you a hint. It's the answer that you are supposed to give to every single question you are ever asked in Sunday school growing up as a kid. It's Jesus. Okay? We cannot miss this here. This idea of shalom. Okay, it is found in and made possible only by Jesus. And so here's what you need to know, right? When we understand the word shalom, we understand the root from where it came from. Here's what you need to know about peace if we're ever going to truly experience it fully. Peace is not the absence of something. It's not the absence of conflict or war or drama or difficulty or hardship. Peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. You catch this? Right? We think that peace is just when all the bad stuff goes away. Peace, it is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. You got to follow this thread with me here now. This is not just some kind of cute comparison that where I'm connecting dots that don't necessarily connect. Okay? The prophet Isaiah, in fact, hinted at this long before Jesus' time on earth. Here's the prophet Isaiah writing in chapter 9, verse 6. And I think you've heard this before, even if you didn't know where it came from. This is the same verse that's read every year at Christmas. Here's what Isaiah writes. For a child is born unto us. A son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Prince of Shalom. That's Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Okay, now fast forward. Fast forward to Jesus' time on earth and fast forward all the way to the day of his resurrection. That Sunday morning, his disciples, they're devastated after the murder of their leader. And for fear that they might be next, they lock themselves behind closed doors. And Jesus appears to them. And what does he say? Look at John chapter 20. It says this. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Peace be with you. Jesus, he was not saying, you know, he was not saying, greetings, earthlings. Okay? He wasn't saying, I'm back. He was saying, peace, shalom, is with you. Okay, the Greek word that he used, because the New Testament wrote in that language, the Greek word that he used is eirene, which is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word shalom. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples when he showed up in that room, he's saying wholeness, completeness is with you right here, right now. He's saying your ticket to peace, your ticket to a full and to a complete and to a restored relationship with God the Father is literally standing amongst you right now. He's going, it's me. Shalom is right here, right now, right at your fingertips, right underneath your nose. And so here's the deal. Not only do we need to know that peace is not the absence of something, but it's the presence of someone. I also want us to know what exactly we do with that. That sounds great. I want us to understand, though, what we do with that. If true peace that I truly think all of us really long for, if true peace is the presence of someone, then the key to a life of peace, the key to a life of peace, it's not the elimination of conflict. It's the invitation of God into the midst of it. Do you see this? Right? If peace is not the absence of something, that's what we think it is. That's what we wish it is. It's all about the absence of conflict, the absence of tension in our life. But if that's not what peace really is, if peace is not the absence of something, but it's actually the presence of someone, then true peace is not going to be obtained in the elimination of conflict or in the elimination of hardship or pain or struggle or stress or discomfort, but in the invitation of God right into the middle of it all. We can try to eliminate it. We can try to eliminate every bit of conflict that could ever rear its head in our life. But I'm just telling you, I don't think we're going to get very far. All we're going to do is just wear ourselves out. We're going to run ourselves ragged, playing a never-ending game of whack-a-mole, right? You've seen this in the arcade game, right? We're not going to get very far. As soon as we knock one problem back in its hole over here, there's going to be another one that pops over there. And as we go rushing over to attend that problem to bop it on the head, over here there's going to be another one ready to rear its head once again. And so what we're doing, if this is the goal, if elimination of problem is the goal, what we're doing is we're playing a game that we cannot win, and we're chasing after peace that we will not be able to achieve, at least not like this. Because the key to a real life of peace, it's not in elimination, it's in invitation. The key to a real life of peace is not in elimination, but it's in invitation. I'm not saying that we don't wish for, I'm not saying that we don't pray for God to intervene in certain places in our life. I'm not saying we don't ask God to intervene in places of hardship or pain or conflict. Not saying that. I'm not saying that we don't pray that war or pain or struggle would end. All I'm saying is that we just don't measure God's goodness by the existence of it. We just invite him into it, into our lives. We invite Jesus into it. And then all that's left really for me today is to ask you a question, right? If peace is something that you long for, then the question to ask you is this: are you living a life of elimination, or are you living a life of invitation? Are you living a life of elimination, trying to eliminate every roadblock or every bump in the road that could ever come your way, or are you living a life of invitation? Are you expecting, you know, God to be your personal, like, pilot car? You know, the ones that go ahead of the wide load, you know, semi-trucks, right, scouting out the road ahead, right? Is that what you're expecting of God, that he would go ahead of you to make sure that, you know, the road ahead is smooth and that you won't encounter any kind of challenge or any kind of conflict or any kind of discomfort along the way? Or are you simply inviting Jesus into it whenever and wherever it exists? Elimination or invitation? I don't think elimination gets us very far. I think invitation is the key to the peace that we want to experience. And so maybe right now, I don't know where everyone is at in life right now, but maybe right now that you're thinking that you'll experience this kind of peace that you long for. You know, you'll experience it once the kids get older, or once they're in school, or once you're done with diapers and sippy cups, right? Then you'll find the peace that you long for. I'd say don't wait. Don't bank on removing anything to start to experience the peace. Don't wait for it to all be over. Invite Jesus into it. Maybe you're thinking that you'll experience peace, you know, once this season is over, whatever it is for you, Matt, this long hours at work during a, you know, a promotion or a review, or maybe some kind of big project at work, or a, you know, a wedding you're planning, or, you know, fill in the blank, right? I'll experience peace once we can just move all that stuff out of the way. Or maybe you're thinking, Matt, I'll finally have peace, you know, once all my debt is paid off, then I'll feel the peace inside, right? Once I eliminate the debt, then I'll be at peace. Now, truthfully, eliminating debt is a really great thing, which I would actually highly recommend you take very seriously, but just don't make peace in your life dependent on it. Right? Maybe you're thinking you'll find peace once COVID is gone, or once your neighbors move, or your in-laws move, or when you move, or once you get that promotion, or once you get that apology, or maybe you think you'll finally experience peace when the election cycle is over, or when your candidate is in office, or maybe you'll think you'll find peace once you can clean up your act, and you can smooth out all of your rough edges, and you can eliminate all the bad habits and mistakes in your life. Eliminate it. Get it all out of the way. And then you'll feel at peace. Or maybe it's something else for you. And here's what I'd say about whatever it is for you. Those are all fine things to wish for. Those are all fine things to hope that, you know, they would maybe happen in your life. Just don't make peace in your life. Don't make shalom in your life. Don't make wholeness and fullness in your life dependent on them. Right? The elimination of whatever stands between you and all of those things, it will not bring the peace you are looking for. But I think inviting Jesus into those very places, into those very circumstances, into those very situations can and will bring the peace you're looking for, because he is the Prince of Peace. He even says, my peace I give to you. He is the one. Jesus is the one that makes true peace possible. So Midcurrent, rather than eliminating the conflict in your life, maybe the answer is simply inviting Jesus into it. Maybe the answer is stopping long enough to consider, to ask what God would say to you, how he would be leading you in the midst of it. It's a great question. In fact, I see a counselor, a therapist about once a month, and this is the question that he always asks me about whatever conflict or tension that I'm talking to him about. He always asks me, hey, well, Sten, what is God saying to you about this when you bring this in prayer to him? And this question drives me nuts. I'm like, he ain't saying anything. That's why I'm here talking to you, so that you can help eliminate this problem from my life. He ain't saying nothing. Eliminate it. But friends, here's the deal. As much as I hate this question, what do you mean, what's he saying? As much as I hate this question, what I'm learning is that it's the only question to ask. It's the only question to ask in the midst of the conflict or the tension or the pain or the drama or the fill in the blank. It's the only question to ask. And so maybe, just maybe, it's the question for you to stop and to ask more. God, what would you like me to hear right now? What do you want to say to me right now? God, I'm open to it, and I'm inviting you into the current situation that I'm in, rather than demanding that you change it, or rather than demanding that you make it disappear, or rather demanding that you wave a magic wand over it so that it goes poof. I'm inviting you into it, God. So say to me what you want to say to me. Folks, peace. Shalom. It is not contingent on external circumstances in our life lining up the way that we want them to. That just won't work. It is contingent, however, upon the Prince of Peace being welcomed into every area of your life and of mine. There's no other way that you will experience that kind of peace. So then, my encouragement for all of us, let's be invitational people. In everything we do, in every part of our life, in every high and every low, let's be invitational people, not elimination people. Let's be invitational people, not elimination kind of people. It's my hope for you and for me. And before I close in prayer, then let me just ask you right now, here in this moment, this might be the last moment of peace and quiet you have for the rest of the day. So before I close in prayer, let me just ask you to take a moment here to think about your life right now. Think about your life right now. Maybe I don't know for sure, but maybe it's a little off. Maybe life and maybe faith feels a little stagnant. Maybe it's not what it once was. Maybe it's not what you want it to be right now. I think we've all had those moments, and maybe that's the way you're feeling a little bit right now. Something feels off. It might not be how you want it to be, but here's what I would suggest to you. It might not be as off as you think it is. Maybe you just need a small shift in the way that you think. Maybe it's not a change in your circumstances that you need, but maybe it's a change in the perspective with which you meet those challenges and those situations and those circumstances every day. Maybe it's simply a matter of invitation rather than elimination. So friends, here's the deal. Here's what I would hope for us. Let's let this shalom, let's let this be the currency that we deal with. Let's assess and let's evaluate life less on external circumstances that come and go and rise and fall, circumstances that are largely out of our control. And instead, let's evaluate our life. More so, let's evaluate our life based on how much we invite the Prince of Peace into our life, to be present in whatever circumstances we are experiencing. Let's cling to Jesus in the valleys. Let's thank him profusely on the mountaintops, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. And when that's the promise, God with us, not looking down on us from afar, not the pilot car out ahead of us, mowing down every possible bump in the road. When the promise is God with us, when peace is who God is, then peace is never really that far out of reach. It's always something that we can welcome into our lives when it matters most. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for the chance to hear from you, God. That's what we ultimately want when we sit in these seats. God, we want to hear from you. We want to know more about you and your heart for us. And God, I can't think of a person out there that doesn't want to experience more peace somewhere in their life, in this world. God, it's a great thing to think about, to wish for, but my hope here today is that you would help us to understand that peace is something so much more than oftentimes what we think it is. God, it's not the elimination of something. It's not the absence of something that brings about peace, that brings about fullness, that brings about wholeness, God. It's the presence of someone, most importantly you, your son, Jesus, who is God with us. And so, God, I don't know what's happening in the lives of everyone sitting in these seats or tuning online. God, there are probably some on the mountaintops, and there are, I'm sure, some in the valleys and everywhere in between, God. So whatever is happening in our life, God, I pray that you would just help us to shift, to be people who work a whole lot less to eliminate problems and conflict and tension, God, and instead that we would be people who invite you into it so that we might experience fullness and wholeness and completeness, and that we might experience a relationship with you that is unmatched and that is the only thing that leads to the peace and the shalom that we long for. So God, go with us from this place and help us to find more places to invite you in, God, and help us to be people who ask in more circumstances, God, what do you want to say to me here and now? God, what is it that you would like for me to hear from you in the midst of what it is I'm in the middle of? God, we give you thanks most of all for your son, Jesus, who is with us in all of these things. And we give you thanks for that. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. But before I go, I just want to say this. If you really never have said yes to Jesus, if you've never really invited the Prince of Peace into your life, I want to make sure that I invite you to do that, to give you the chance to do that today, so that you might experience the full and the complete and the restored relationship with God the Father that Jesus made possible for you. And so here's the deal. If that's you, you're saying, hey, I want to say yes to that relationship. I want to invite that peace into my life. I'm going to stick around the service if you'd like to talk to me about that, if that's a decision that you want to make. If you'd rather go home and let us know, just send a simple email. Say three words, I said yes, and email it to yes@midcurrentchurch.org. We'd love to come alongside of you as you invite Jesus into your life. And for those of us who already have said yes to this Prince of Peace, the truth is Jesus also told us that we were to be peacemakers. And what he didn't necessarily mean is for us to be mediators or political negotiators, but I think what he did mean is that we would be people who carry with us at all times an inward sense of that fullness that is only possible through Jesus, and that we would carry it so much that it spills out everywhere that we go. And so as you walk out into this world, I just want to remind you of the peace and the fullness that you carry inside of you wherever you go. And as you walk on out of here today, make sure that you stop and enjoy some Dad's root beer floats on us as a way to celebrate Father's Day today. We're so glad to have you here, and we look forward to seeing you back here next week for week number 4 of Need to Know. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from MidCurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.